The Positude Podcast, a one-hour show to bring joy, balance, and happiness to you and to negate the negativity in your life.
Hello world, here's a song that we're singing. Come on, get happy. A whole lot of loving is what we'll be bringing. We'll make you happy.
Welcome once again to another episode of the Positude Podcast. My name is Ira Robinson. As always, we're here with Maggie Hart. Hello, Maggie.
Hi, Ira. How are you this week?
It's been a very interesting week. We had that L&M a-thon that went on over this past week. And boy, oh boy.
We had a thon.
We did. It was very energetic.
T-H-O-N.
But...
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's right. I heard about that.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun, though.
Not T-H-O-N-G.
Okay. No, not a thong.
Mike got underwear printed up. Well, as you can tell, I've got a little bit of a voice problem going on this week, but we'll get through it, won't we?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So why don't you get us started on the first story that you ran across for us?
I ran into this Sunny Stories. It's a very touching story. There are a lot of details to it. R. Kell and Dana Griffin Graves actually did a video about the fact that they found out that they were expecting a baby, and it had been a very long process. The couple had been trying to get pregnant and had 4 miscarriages, a stillbirth. They actually adopted a child 3 years ago, and so Dana didn't say anything to anyone for 5 months, and then they did one of those videos, an announcement or whatever, and it went viral. And she wanted to be absolutely sure that the baby was going to come closer to term before she said anything. So against all odds, the baby did okay for the first 5.5 months. And then they found out that the baby decided it wanted to be born. And so it was just literally weeks after their pregnancy announcement went viral on Facebook. She went into labor and delivered a little boy, Caleb Article Graves, and the baby was only like 13 ounces, less than a pound. Can you imagine? I mean, they have pictures of it. You'll see in the link when you look at it, and it's just, the baby is just like this tiny little peanut. He's so beautiful. And so the baby had to stay in a neonatal unit for a year, actually, and at the end of the year, it's really cute. They have like this little graduation cap on him, and the day that they were able to bring him home from the hospital. But in the meantime, this poor child had gone through so much trauma, being born at 13 ounces. And then he had, about 6 months after he was born, they thought that they would be able to take him home, and they got excited. And then come to find out, the child had chronic lung disease, which is common in premature babies. Because their lungs haven't had time to develop fully in the womb. But he had graduated to a non-invasive ventilator and had to have a surgery to repair a hole in his heart. And then he suffered some more health setbacks. So he ended up being in the hospital for a year. He had to have a trach put in his throat, a tracheostomy tube to help him breathe. He needed a G-tube in his stomach to help him eat. And it was just a very, very long road for this family. And after a year, he was able to come home at 13 pounds. So I thought that was a very, very beautiful story and somewhat of a miracle story. It actually would have fit into the next category that we have, actually.
My my brother, his daughter, when she was born, she was very, very tiny as well. She was in the ICU for a long time before they released her. Boy, I'll tell you, she's definitely a miracle in and of herself. There was not really a reason why she should have survived, but she did. You know, she pulled through. And you know, when it comes to these preemie babies, I'll tell you, some of them, you got to look at and go, wow, you are going to be one strong person, to say the least.
And that's it. I mean, that child is born as a survivor and a fighter.
Yeah.
From day one, to be able to make it that far, and it was a beautiful story. I was really touched by that. And when you hear things like that, it really makes you appreciate the children that you have. because so many are lost when they're that small. So to see one that's able to survive and thrive and grow strong is just, that's even more of an incredible miracle to me.
It is. You know? Yeah.
To be able to see that. It's just, and you know what? I really feel like those parents, and it's probably, I have to say it, I feel like the parents value those children so much more than if they have other healthy children, because that child made it against all odds. You know what I mean?
They have dedicated so much energy into just trying to get them to survive. It's hard not to have that kind of a bond.
It really is. And I just, it's special.
It is, definitely.
So for positive phenomenon, this one, of course, leaning toward the paranormal, it was about a boy. And the little boy, well, he was 19. He was a father-to-be. He wanted to be a rapper and an NFL player. And 14 years ago, he was killed in a drive-by shooting in California. And ever since that day, a void had been left in his family. The little boy's name was Aaron Vickers. And every year his sister, mother, and other loved ones would visit the site where he was gunned down and pay their respects to keep his memory alive. And this year, when he was, like, apparently when he was 16 years old, he wrote a letter addressed to his future self about all his hopes and dreams as part of a school project. And the letter was 4 pages long. And it remained in the possession of one of his teachers, Daryl Hutchins. He had kept the letter for over 12 years. And it was just recently that Hutchins found out that the past student had died. And he was trying to discover a way to reach out to the family, found the Facebook page dedicated to Aaron's memory, contacted the family, and just days after the anniversary of Aaron's passing, or his killing, his mother and sister got the letter in the mail. So after reading it, they were convinced and comforted by the belief that this was their teenager, you know, their sibling, thanking them for keeping his memory alive. So I thought that was a very touching one as well.
That is, and you got to wonder, really, if their spirit had something to do with driving that note or that letter to that family.
Yeah, that's what I think.
I think so too. You know, both of us have experienced that kind of thing where the spirits have gotten involved in this physical realm before to make sure that certain messages or certain revelations or whatever the case may be do come to light. And so, you know, maybe a little tweak of energy here and there makes it so that that teacher became aware, oh, hey, wait, there's this. And then some, maybe saw a story or something about how the person had died, and suddenly they're like, oh, okay, yeah, I need to get involved here, you know?
Yeah, that's absolutely the case. I mean, nothing happens without a reason,
yeah.
You know? And I don't believe in coincidences. So my belief system and my thought process is that somehow the child reached out from the other side, and yes, exactly that, contacted the teacher, or, you know, put a seed into the teacher's mind that, you know, I hear he's passed. Let me try and contact the family. Let me try and go on Facebook, you know?
Right. Yeah. Exactly. I've had just as a weird experience, I had a spirit one time that ended up interfering with my computer system and actually took me to a website that actually spoke about their death at one point in time. So it happens, you know, it's weird, but it happens.
That's really cool. And that's happened to me too. Like shortly after giving a reading about a person that's deceased, you know, going on a website and finding an article about the same exact disease that they passed on from or something like that. Or, you know, if I held a piece of jewelry, like a website that had a similar piece of jewelry on the site, you know, so, you know, they're looking out for you, they're watching, and they're giving you those little signs of reinforcement. And so
absolutely,
that's what the family believes, and it's comforted them. And I just thought that that was a wonderful thing, you know?
Absolutely. Yep.
So then I have Furry Heroes. And this one, of course, is about a veteran, so it was extra special to me. Robert Patterson went to a pound one day and wanted to see if he could adopt a dog. And he really wasn't making any connection with any of the animals. But he was just getting ready to leave, And one of the dogs caught his attention and refused to let him, you know, like lose eye contact with him, get out of his sight type of thing. And the dog, Little Buddy, really was putting up a fight to have Robert notice him because it was scheduled for him to be euthanized the very next day. So with less than 24 hours left to live, these two became friends and they bonded. And so Robert took Little Buddy home and they became virtually inseparable and were very happy together. And in addition to that, a little bit of time had gone past and he noticed that his dog was acting very strangely and Little Buddy kept pawing at his head. So he kind of thought about that and decided, well, maybe I should trust his instincts. And he made an appointment to go to the doctor. Well, what he thought was just a sore on the top of his head actually turned out to be a form of skin cancer that had to be immediately operated on. So because the cancer was discovered so early, because Little Buddy had brought the attention to the top of his head repeatedly where this area was that was aggravated or looked different or was bothering him, whatever, the doctors managed to remove the cancer and save his life. So talk about destiny on that one, huh?
Yeah, no kidding. That actually happens more often than people might think, where the animals, I mean, they do sense when something's going on in your body. Especially with dogs, I know cats can too, but especially with dogs, I mean, dogs have such amazing receptors in their noses that are beyond our understanding, really. I mean, I think it's compared to that we have about 5 million scent receptors in our nasal cavities, whereas your average dog has something like 500 million or 300 million or something like that. I mean, it's just amazingly huge, the amount of sensitivity that they have. So if you have something that's going on in your body, they are actually extremely aware of it and they will let you know about it.
Yeah, it's amazing. My puppies are the same way. They can tell when I'm not feeling well. They know my moods. If I'm sick, they know, like for instance, if my stomach hurts, most of the time, almost instinctively, they know like not to jump on my tummy, or something like that. It's really cool. And there he goes with web effects and how many nerve sensors a dog has in his nose. Ira, only you. I love you, Ira. For real, did you seriously just look that up after I sent you the article link?
No, it's just something I knew.
I knew it.
Sad enough.
The stuff he carries around in his head, people, it amazes me. Ira, I love you.
Same back to you.
Okay, so then we go into Seeds of Hope. This one is a shorter article, but it still touched me all the same. It's about a child that was a victim of a hit and run. And Kyle, I'm thinking Pseny, P-S-E-E-N-N-Y. Not really sure of the pronunciation, but Kyle was a victim of a hit and run accident that left his family with, as you can imagine, many financial burdens that they weren't able to overcome. And, then coupled with that, you have the emotional adjustments of caring for what was previously a normally healthy child, a former athlete, and his injuries were so life-altering that he depends, of course, heavily on his parents, and he's in a wheelchair, or was in a wheelchair, so they had to make the home wheelchair-friendly. And an organization called Fred's Footsteps came to the rescue of the mom and provided them with the help that they needed to get through the tough times financially. And thankfully, the boy is doing well. His spirits are high, in spite of all that he's gone through. And he's holding his head up and showing emotion, smiling at his parents. And so I thought that was a very, very beautiful story. And, little organizations like this that you never hear of on a daily basis do so much for humanity, and so many of them go unrecognized, that it's really nice when you get to see that in an article that they're getting the notoriety that they so much deserve, because so many of them are frequently volunteers. They do fundraisers. They scratch and scrimp and save and do everything they can think of to raise money for the people who truly need it. And it's a very tireless, thankless position to hold. But they do it simply to help other people. And, I mean, there's just such an immense beauty in that to me, you know, that it's really nice to see those organizations get recognized for what they do.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, a lot of people focus on these big charities. And while there's maybe not necessarily something wrong with the big charities, although I will admit there are a lot of problems with these big charities that are out there. You know, I've gone into that on my shows before. Anyways, these smaller charities, the ones that are set up by people, you know, a lot of times these charities are set up by people that have experienced what the charity is about, either through their own family or through themselves. And I love supporting these little smaller things, to say the least. Like, for instance, there's one here in Indiana called the Riley Children's Hospital. Hospital is dedicated to children, and they do not charge the parents anything for any of the work that's done in the hospital. All the people that are there are volunteers. So all the doctors, nurses, everybody, they're all volunteers. They get paid nothing for the work that they do. This location, for instance, is the one that saved Jolene's life. All the things that were done with her and her heart issues were done there at that hospital. So we always make sure to support things like that, just as an example.
That's amazing. And, you know, we won't even go there because you and I have discussed that privately before. These big organizations, their CEOs are making more money than what they're donating to the needy.
Exactly,
you know,
and
the things that you donate, so much of a percentage of them, you know, doesn't even get to the people who need it. You know, it's used for other reasons.
Exactly.
And it's just,
that's why I like to support these little smaller charities, you know, the little smaller organizations like this.
Myself as well, because, you know, they're legit, you know, they're just hardworking people. And like you say, that's how a lot of them get more people into their organization. They were a recipient of something from that organization.
Yep.
And because they have gratitude toward that organization, they in turn decide to support that organization in whatever manner they're able to. And so it's a grassroots, but it's legitimate, you know, and there's heart and feeling behind it. And that's not to say that all of the big organizations are corrupt, but a good percentage of them, as you and I have discovered and we've talked about before, are, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Just that. So it's really nice to see these little guys get recognition.
Yep, indeed. Indeed.
So for these crazy kids, this story's really cool too. You're gonna love this one, especially as a lead-in from the other story, you're gonna love this one. 14-year-old Andre Poulos grew up just, you know, a healthy child. She was having some headaches. They never seemed to be anything out of the ordinary, so they didn't pay them too much attention. But in January 2011, so this article is a little bit older, she had come out of swim practice and was complaining this time of a particularly severe headache. So as she got in the car to be driven home, she was almost unresponsive by the time they got to her house. So her mother, Lynn, called the pediatrician, who seemed to think that it was nothing more than a migraine, but had the wherewithal, thank God, to suggest that they at least go to the hospital for a checkup just to make sure. And so they did so. And after a couple of tests and a CAT scan, they found out that Andre had a rare acquired brain injury called arterial venous malformation. So the doctors had to put an external drain into her head to relieve the pressure on the brain. And she was put into a drug-induced coma, spent several hours in surgery, but that move saved her life. And then months later, she started to go through her recovery process. Bravely, she pushed through it all, including speech, occupational therapy, physical therapy. And she never gave up. Aside all of the challenges, they came away with recuperating. And her family, thankfully, she had a very supportive family, friends, even her doctors. And she hasn't ever felt sorry for herself. Her mother was very proud to tell the people who wrote the article she'd never played the whiny card, you know. And aside from her improving her health day by day and proving that she can be an inspirational, resilient spirit. She walks with a cane, but she's cowers down. She's going to Holy Innocence Episcopal school. She's the manager of their softball team. She was recently honored by the Atlanta Braves as an Atlanta hero, which I thought was just amazing. And when she went to accept the award of the Braves game, she actually was able to walk onto the field without a cane. Now, the thing that touched me most about this article wasn't even all of that that this child had to overcome. This child, this little girl, founded a support group called Andy's Army to provide financial assistance to children and adolescents, I got a chill, who are receiving medical treatment and care for brain and spinal cord injuries. I just thought that was so cool.
Now, see, I have heard of Andy's Army before, but I didn't know that that was the story behind it. That's really interesting.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That is so cool.
So you brought something new to my mind.
Yeah. So can you imagine having to overcome all of that? And then just like we were speaking about before, and a 14-year-old child, you know, to have the drive and the inclination to be able to set up an organization to help others that have the same type of problems that she has.
Yeah, she didn't go the direction of pity me and poor me and you know, look at me, I'm having all these problems. She said, okay, I see that there's these problems here. I know other people are experiencing it. What can I do to help them too? You know, and that's amazing. That's amazing.
Isn't that great?
That's a true spirit right there.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to go into dancing, jamming music?
Why, we sure can. And it's funnily enough, the song that you picked for this this one is actually one of my favorite songs. It's a very interesting one. So
I always hit them with you, don't I?
You do indeed.
I'm going to say Bare Naked because we were talking about the song.
Indeed. So here you guys go, a little bit of dancing and jamming music while we go pee. And we'll be back in just a few minutes, folks.
I love you, Ira.
It's been 1 week since you looked at me. Cocked your head to the side and said I'm angry. 5 days since you laughed at me, saying get that together, come back and see me. 3 days since the living room, I realized it's all my fault, but couldn't tell you. Yesterday, you'd forgiven me, but it'll still be 2 days till I say I'm sorry.
Hold it, now we'll watch a hoodwink. Does it make you stop, think? You'll think you're looking at Aquaman. I summon fish to the dish, although I like the chalet Swiss, I like the sushi, cause it's never touch a frying pan. Hot like wasabi when I bust rhymes, speak like Leanne rhymes, because I'm all about value. Bert Kemper's got the mad hits, you try to match wits, you try to hold me but I bust through. Gonna make a break and take a fake out like a stinking ache and shake out like vanilla, it's the finest of the flavors. Gonna see the show cause then you'll know the vertigo is gonna go, cause it's so dangerous, you'll have to sign a waiver. Can I help it if I think you're funny when you're mad? Trying hard not to smile though I feel bad. I'm the kind of guy who laughs at a funeral, can't understand what I mean, well you soon will. Have a tendency to wear my mind on my sleeve. I have a history of taking off my shirt. It's been 1 week since you looked at me. Threw your arms in the air and said you're crazy. 5 days since you tackled me. I still got the rug burns on both my knees. It's been 3 days since the afternoon. You realize it's not my fault, but a moment too soon. Yesterday, you'd forgiven me. And now I'll sit back and wait till you say you're sorry. Chinese chicken, you have a drumstick and your brain stops sticking. Watching X-Files with no lights on, with all Amazons. I hope the smoking man's in this one. Like Harrison Ford, I'm getting frantic. Like Sting, I'm tantric. Like Snickers, guaranteed to satisfy. Like Kurosawa, I make mad films. Okay, I don't make films, but if I did, they'd have a samurai. Gonna get a set of better clubs, gonna find the kind with tiny nubs, so my irons aren't always flying off the backswing. Gonna get into my Sailor Moon, cause that cartoon has got the boom anime babes that make me think the wrong thing. How can I help it if I think you're funny when you're mad? Trying hard not to smile, though I feel bad. I'm the kind of guy who laughs at a funeral, can't understand what I mean, you soon will. I have a tendency to wear my mind on my sleeve. I have a history of losing my shirt. It's been 1 week since you looked at me. Dropped your eyes to the sides and said I'm sorry. 5 days since I laughed at you and said you just did just what I thought you were gonna do. 3 days since the living room, we realized we're both to blame, but what did we do? Yesterday, you just smiled at me, cause it'll still be 2 days till we say we're sorry. It'll still be 2 days till we say we're sorry.
Wasabi. Ah, Bare Naked Ladies. I love that song. Chickity China, the Chinese chicken. That's actually, funnily enough.
Sing it, Ira.
Funnily enough, Jalene goes around singing that song all the time. She loves that song. It's one of her favorites. That actually spent 1 week at the number one spot in the United States. It's actually a song about a big fight in a relationship, if you guys didn't catch that during the chorus there. It's also full of all kinds of nice, cool music trivia and movie trivia. And yeah, if you don't know trivia, you can listen to that song and learn a little bit of it. It was also their first big hit. I love the guys. They're awesome, awesome band. It's one of my favorites out there. And yeah, I love it.
So you were definitely what helped them hammer onto the first week, right?
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
It was you and Jolene replaying the song over and over, requesting it over the airwaves.
You got it.
it's a dancey song, you know, it's a feel-good song. So I thought it was a cool one.
Absolutely. Love it.
So going into Maggie's Moments, play that funky music, white boy.
I'm gonna hold who needs holding. Mend what needs mending, walk what needs walking, though it means an extra mile. Pray what needs praying, say what needs saying, 'cause we're only here for a little while.
I have, last night, probably part of the reason that I'm hoarse is I had a presentation last night. We did an annual event that I do every year, third year running. Only this time, usually we do a ghost tour at a well-known, very well-known haunted theater. This time, I brought together a team of paranormal experts, people that I respect and really like in the field, and we did a ghost hunt. So it was a really different experience. It was through the roof. It was overwhelming success. I mean, people were going crazy. It was just an amazing experience. And one of the guys that I had with me came up from, and it's a running joke because our family's from the city, but he's still in the city. He resides there yet. He's from Queens, but I always say Anthony from Brooklyn, and he gets so mad at me when I say that every single time. But he came up and stayed with me for the weekend, and you know, he's got a beautiful family back home, and he was traveling all the way up here. And I'm like, look, buddy, don't spend money on a hotel room. Just stay here. You know, I've got tons of room here. You know, just come here, stay. I said, I'll feed you a nice, you know, Italian meal. I said, it won't be anything fancy because we have to get ready to go to the event, but I'll give you a nice meal and, you know, I'll feed you breakfast in the morning before you go, send you on your way. So he shows up, you know, because Italian people never show up at anybody else's house empty handed. That's just how we are. And from his wife, this giant tray of baklava and this big bottle of Moscato wine. And I'm like, score. So he may have taken your spot as new best friend for this week, but but I'm just kidding. But anyway, the event was amazing, and he wowed the crowds. And the other girl that I had, Tammy, she wowed the crowds, and it was an amazing event. And we didn't have a lot of children this year, but we did have one that stuck out. And she was a little girl, and I would say she's probably maybe 13, 12, something like that. I did set an age limit of 13 and up, so I would hope that she was 13 because that's what the rules were. But at any rate, and the reason I do that, though, is because some of the areas that we explore are, you know, a little bit, you have to be careful where you walk. And, you know, there's the fear factor there because there are spirits involved. And so, you know, I really don't want little ones running around. And plus, when you're doing a hunt, especially, you know, there are times you want dead silence, the lights go off, and you don't want children to be frightened. But this little girl, she maintained her composure. And how I did it was we explored three rooms of the theater, the three most active, and we cycled them. So every half hour, the groups were moved room to room. So they got a chance to work with myself and then the other two investigators. So it was really cool. So they got a feel for how each of us works and, you know, me being a psychic medium, what I experienced without the equipment, and then they were able to verify it with the equipment. Because the cool thing about it is we were able to, my two investigators that I used, they're so awesome. They brought all of their equipment and let the people use it. So they got to run around and test the stuff out. And the little girl had an EMF meter, I think it was, in her hand. And I was on the steps of the theater, and I just, you know how I am, I had to sit down for a minute because the pain was starting to hurt. It was later in the evening. we'd run over, and it was probably close to midnight anyway. We're supposed to be done at 11:30. And she came and just sat down next to me quietly, didn't say anything. And I looked at her, and she wouldn't look at me. She was just kind of looking down. She wanted to be close to me, and I felt that. So I looked down at her, and I picked her chin up. I put my finger under her chin, and I said, "George, sweetheart, look at me." So I looked into her eyes. This child was insanely gifted, and I felt it right away. And she had felt my energy because she had come to sit next to me. I mean, her parents were there. Her brother was there. And she just came up and sat down next to me like, she could feel it. So I started talking to her, and I said to her mom, I said, "Do you know this child is gifted?" And her mom said, "Actually, we were just in Salem a couple months ago, and somebody there told us the same thing." And I said, "This child's a healer." I said, "And she's very strong." I said, "And she also does see spirits." So the little girl looked at me, and I said, "Sweetheart, did you have a nice time tonight? Did you have fun?" And, "Yes." And I said, "Were you afraid?" And she said, "No." And then she told me the story about how she was in the basement with Anthony, and he let her use one of the boxes that talks. And so the spirit was actually talking to the child and answering her questions. And then Anthony told me afterward, he asked the box a question, and the spirit told him to shut up. He wanted to talk to the little girl. So that was cool in itself, and that made her whole night, made her feel special.
Oh, yeah.
But she was also empathic, which I didn't mention to them. She was feeling the energies around. And so she came and sat next to me, and we talked for a few minutes. And I said to her, "Sweetheart, would you do me a favor?" And she said, "What's that?" I pushed my sleeve up, and I said, "Would you touch my arm?" So she touched my arm, and I could feel the energy running through, and I looked at the mom and kind of nodded my head. And then I took a random guy that was standing there just like kind of eavesdropping on the conversation. He was actually waiting to have me look at one of his pictures to see what I saw in the picture and felt from the picture. And I said, "Sir, would you mind just coming over here for a moment and, push up your sleeve?" And I said, "You're empathic." And he said, "Yes, I am." And I said, "Would you mind just feeling this little girl's energy?" Well, he felt it. And he could feel the sparks running through him, and he could feel the energy running through his arm. And so it was such an amazing experience because, I've written the books to help children who are gifted develop and be aware of their gifts so that they're not afraid of them. Well, the fact that I was able to have a face-to-face with a child that had been experiencing spirits all evening, felt my energy, felt the energy in the theater, and just was guided to sit next to me so that I could have that talk with her in person, because the likelihood of her ever buying my book or me ever meeting this child were otherwise, virtually impossible.
Yeah, it wouldn't have happened. So, exactly.
Yeah, it was such a great meet, and it was just an amazing experience. And that little girl left with the biggest smile on her face. But I have to tell you, sibling rivalry comes into play. And her brother was there, and he was probably maybe 16, and he's watching intently as this whole thing is transpiring, and how I'm talking about his sister, and you could see the look on his face. It wasn't really jealousy, but it was envy, I think,
Yeah.
And so I looked at him, and I said, "Okay, sweetheart," I said, "you're gifted too." And so I looked into his eyes, and I told him what his gifts were, and he's primarily empathic. He's not a healer, but he also does see and hear spirits. And so we talked about that for a few minutes, and the mom said, "Well, the lady in Salem told us the same thing." And so I spoke with him for a few minutes, so I was able to kind of boost his self-confidence so that he didn't feel left out.
Right.
And he admitted to his gifts and was aware of his gifts, and so we talked about different ways to strengthen and develop those and protect them. And they're supposed to be contacting me because, as I don't charge for protection, especially for children, my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
So it was just a really cool story. And it was a wonderful evening, fun night. We were up to like 5 a.m. because I had to drive everybody home afterwards, and I had to make a pit stop. And that's the other part of my Maggie story. I have these really cool friends, and the guy fixes my car on occasion, does me some favors. And it had been a while. Well, down in my basement, I had these blow up decorations. And here where I live, it's very, very windy, so it's virtually impossible to use them here because it's just a waste of time. They blow over, they tip, they deflate, So their little boy actually is autistic, and so he likes the Halloween decorations, and the soon-to-be stepdad loves to decorate for, like, Halloween and Christmas. They tell me he's, family Christmas vacation. Which,
yeah, the Griswolds. Clark Griswold.
The Griswolds. Yeah, yeah. So I wanted them to have the decorations before Halloween so they had time to get them set up and be able to enjoy the Halloween one before Halloween actually got here. So after I dropped off the first paranormal investigator at her house, we made a pit stop there. And thankfully, they were still awake. And I'm banging on the door. It was like 3 a.m. You know, when I'm dropping off. I felt like Santa Claus. It was so cool, you know, because now today he could go and set up the Halloween decoration. And then, you know, the family get to enjoy it. And as an aside, I found these little light up bike spokes. They like, you touch them and they light up and flash red and blue. And so the little boy, when he rides his bike in the neighborhood, you know, he'd have these really cool lights at nighttime.
Oh, yeah.
So they're actually packed in a box downstairs of my daughter's that she had outgrown, and they'd never been used. They were still in the package. So I thought, my gosh, he'll get pleasure out of this. This will be really cool. And it's Halloween time. So if he goes trick or treating and he takes his bike, you know, he'll be a little safer because people will see the lights. And not that they would let him go alone, because I'm certain that that's not the case. But you know, at least he'd have a little bit of glitz too, you know, so
yep, exactly.
I thought that was pretty cool. So then we came home and we looked at pictures for a while. We got to bed at like 5:30 in the morning. It was like insane, but it was a very cool night. And I was so happy to have gotten to do a couple of little nice things for a few children, you know, so it was kind of like a triple play. You know, I got the girl and then her brother, and then I got to drop the decorations off, you know, at my buddy's house. So.
So overall, a night that you cannot complain about.
Absolutely not. You know, any night that I can do something cool for somebody is a good night in my eyes, you know, and then the excitement of the event and watching everybody leave so happy and excited and, you know, it was a really, really nice feel. And the establishment was very thankful to me and I am to them for all of their hard work. And it's a theater that has over the years gone through the closing, almost closing, and it's literally through the love and dedication of the loyal staff members and the people on the board that place is even in existence anymore, and they've built it back up to where it does some really fabulous events. And so I am so happy and proud to be a part of it because of that, but also because the spirits that reside there are very attached to me, and they come out when I'm there, so that's really cool too.
They've gotten used to you. Yeah, they've gotten to know you.
Yeah, yeah, and I don't antagonize them. I treat them with respect, and so they appreciate me, and I appreciate them, you know. So overall, it was a really cool night.
That is cool. That is cool. And I will say, like, from my own experiences, if I had encountered somebody in my teen years that had told me, you know, that had acknowledged my gifts and that kind of thing, it definitely would have made all the difference in my life for sure. So I can say more than likely say that the children that you interacted with there, they are coming away from it with more confidence and more surety in their abilities and less likely to down themselves about it, basically.
Yeah, that was the goal, you know, because they question everything when they're little. And thankfully, the mom and the dad was kind of quiet, but they seemed very supportive. And so, you know, that in itself is a battle won, you know, so it was really neat to see. You know, I really had a great time and to be able to work with such really cool professionals, you know, that were there to be a part of my event. I mean, how Anthony interacted with that child really affected her. And the fact that the ghost told him to shut up, you know, I'm sure that just put her over the top.
Oh, yeah.
Special, you know, so it was cool.
That is so awesome.
Isn't that great? So happiness homework, very simple thing. I'm going to ask you to rake your neighbor's lawn, or an elderly person or a disabled person, somebody in the neighborhood. And, you know, if they have a 2-acre lot, I'm not asking you to do the whole thing. But what I typically do, and usually the last year or so, I have to be honest, I haven't been able to do as much as I'd like to because of what I've got going on, you know, with my health. But and one of these days, I guess we're going to have to just divulge it, but I'm just still not ready. But anyway, I used to rake my neighbor's yard and the neighbor on the other side of me. And sometimes they'd even go across the street. you know, because there were elderly people, there were sick people, there were people that worked two jobs, three jobs. And so if you just take that extra 5 or 10 minutes and just do a little bit of their lawn, even if you can't get all of it, it's less for them to do. They'll be appreciative. And, you know, they may not physically be able to do it. They may have to pay a neighborhood kid to do it. And I'm not telling you to take money out of a neighborhood kid's pocket, but you don't see so much of that anyway, as an aside, as you did back in the day, you know, where kids will come around with, you know, a shovel or a rake and say, hey, you know, can I rake your leaves?
In a lot of areas, they've actually made it illegal for them to do it without a permit.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, the kids in a lot of areas, they have to pay like $150 for a permit for the season to be able to go around shoveling people's lawns.
Are you kidding me? Well, no. In my neighborhood, the ones that are around here just don't seem very driven.
Yeah.
We'll see that. So, you know, so if you're able to just, I mean, I'm thinking particularly of, there's a neighbor a couple houses down that's elderly, and there are people across the street that are a little older, you know, and, you know, just if you can do 5-10 minutes just to help them out a little bit.
I can give you an example. In our neighborhood, we've got, we live on a cul-de-sac, and most of the people that are here on the cul-de-sac are either elderly or, you know, disabled in some way. There's like our family, we've got, you know, an 81-year-old woman, a woman with severe heart problems, and then me, who's blind, you know, and most of our neighbors are much older folks with, you know, walkers and everything. So, one of the people that lives, just right kind of catty-corner to where we are, he has a snowblower, and every time that it goes, you know, snows and stuff, he's going around. He's the one that's blowing the street, and he'll go up onto everybody's driveways and snow blow their driveways and everything. I mean, he's a great guy, you know.
I used to do that too. I used to go and do both neighbors on either side, and then I would do the whole sidewalk to the corner. And it's so cool because, you know, I love it when you see them looking out their windows and they're looking at you at first initially, if you haven't ever done it before, like, what the heck are you doing in my yard?
Yeah.
And then they see what you're doing and they're like, oh, wow, that is so nice. You know, yep. And then they'll usually come out and, like, you know, thank you or hand you a cookie or try and give you money. And of course I would never take money from them because they need it. Yep. You know,
we always give them home baked goods, you know,
there you go. Yeah.
Cause we know his wife has a very severe sweet tooth. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. Uta and Jim. We love those guys.
Aw, shout out to them. They deserve it. That's awesome.
Yeah. They're great folks.
Aww.
Their dog's Shadow, and boy, that dog is awesome. They've got a big Alaskan husky, and she's great. She's amazing.
Aww, I love huskies. They're so pretty.
Me too. That's one of my favorite dogs.
So there you go. When the snow accumulates, you could just like hook a sled up to it and have it take you around town.
You got it.
So we're going to Healing Herbs, and I chose this week lemon balm, and the reason that I chose lemon balm is just because I happen to see some in my yard. It's like going crazy out there. That is the one herb. The mints sometimes do very, very well out there, but the lemon balm is like a bush. And I go out there, it's fall, leaves are changing, leaves are falling, and so I have raking to do. So come rake my yard if you want to, and I'll do somebody else's. But it's just a bush, and it's like, it's still healthy. It's still thriving. The weather's turned colder up here, and it's very easy to grow. It's like a weed. Once you grow it, it does spread. It's very inexpensive to buy, but it helps with anxiety, insomnia, cold sores, indigestion, heartburn. They call it Melissa officinalis. And also when it's made into an oil, that's a very powerful blessing oil, just so that you know, a lot of people use Melissa as a cleanser, as a spiritual cleanser, and as a blessing when it's made into oil. So as a blessing oil. So it's a very powerful herb when made into an oil as well.
Lemon balm is great too when you, if you use it for like sore throat or, you know, that kind of thing that you've got going on in your throat, you can make it into a tea and it'll help to soothe it down quite a bit. You can also use a combinant of like lemon balm. You kind of crunch it up really well. In a mortar and pestle if you can, and combine it with slippery elm along with some honey and a little bit of powdered slippery elm, and you can make lozenges out of it. And boy, it's amazing to help you with like coughs and that kind of stuff.
Do you want to mail you some? Usually you ask me if you want something. I'm going to drive some. You want some, don't you? All right. If it doesn't get too cold in the next week, I'll get out there.
I love lemon balm.
Okay. All right. Say no more. I'll mail you some. I love you, Ira.
Awesome.
Yep, you got it. It's part of the aromatic mint family. It's known for having calming properties. If you're nervous, if you're studying, going through tests, if you have headaches, mild depression, if you can't relax, to me, it's always been kind of like a chamomile with the, you know, the results that you get from it.
Yes.
Helps you to sleep. Now, if you combine it with valerian, it's even more beneficial for the sleep process. And those two in conjunction are, in my opinion, just as strong, and the article even says so, as a lot of the prescription sleep aids that are out there. So it's a natural alternative.
Valerian is inexpensive. Valerian is awesome, but boy, it's got a taste to it.
Well, that's it. I mean, the smell of it too, because I have some of the oil is very, it puts me off. I have to be honest with you.
It kind of reminds me of a foot.
I like that. Yeah. So I have to be honest, typically I'll stick with just the lemon balm, but even like, and I know that you don't want to hear this, but for women who have menstrual cramping or stomach upset, it's an old school remedy for helping with that. The only thing is with this one is that, if you're on thyroid medication, or if you're pregnant or nursing, or if you have a child, I wouldn't give it to those people because they say that it may not be safe for pregnant women, nursing mothers, children, or anybody on thyroid medication. So there is a stipulation with this one. Usually I try and pick an herb where there aren't too many of those. So my really cool recipes is a Slurpee time. 7-Eleven Sleepy Time herbal syrup. So it's kind of like your cough drops. And it's very easy to make. You take 3/4 cup of lemon balm leaves, put it in a small pot, add enough water just to cover the leaves, simmer it, covered partially, until the liquid is half reduced. Then you strain it, compost the leaves. While it's still warm, measure about 1/2 cup of the concentrated tea and stir 1/4 cup of the honey into it. Raw organic is what I use, so your honey comes into play there as well. You can add it to taste. And you can make larger or smaller batches. You can play with it. But keep a ratio of about 2 parts lemon balm infusion to 1 part honey. And then you can keep it in the refrigerator for a week or two. And then you just take a spoonful every night, and it helps to calm you down. So, and also I should state that honey shouldn't be given to any infants under a year old. So
absolutely.
This is not something all the way around you want to give to your child because of the lemon balm and the honey. So, I thought it was a really cool one, and yes, I will dehydrate now some too.
Awesome. <How about that? laughs> I love it.
I love when you say to me, I love lemon balm. He doesn't ask me, folks, but he knows I'm going to mail it to him. He says that to me. I love you, Ira.
Love you too.
This is how we roll.
Indeed.
Oh gosh. Way cool affirmation. Did I do this one before about Corinthians, love is patient, love is kind?
Nope.
Okay, good. Because you know what? I was going to do it again anyway, just because I love this one. But the way cool affirmations for this week is I've had a lot of people this week that have had problems with love relationships. So, and you know, kind of coming into your own, experiencing your own likes and dislikes, and having the partner appreciate them and respect your differences as well as your likenesses. So this one is, I am able to be fully myself and completely authentic in my love relationship. I love my partner exactly how he or she is and enjoy his or her unique qualities. And that one, you know, again, part of the context that had come up in the past week or two actually was that some people, in order to make a relationship or what they thought they needed to make a relationship thrive, was to sort of pretend that their likes were maybe not as well-liked, you know, as, well, for instance, particularly we're talking about psychic gifts. One girl was seeing another person, and he isn't into the psychic realm. He's not really a believer. He doesn't really understand it. It's not that he's totally closed to it, but she kind of downplayed the fact that she was doing psychic work because she didn't want him to think less of her. So that, in a way, is being untrue to yourself, as well as being untrue to the relationship. And down the line, that could potentially cause a lot of problems because you're really not as well suited to each other as you could be with someone else that maybe has the same or much more of a coincidental, you know, series of likes and likenesses. But then again, if she were open and honest with the gentleman, he may surprise her and come around and say, well, you know, I don't know a lot about it, but, you know, why don't you teach me or why don't you show me? And then together they could grow from that experience as well.
Yep.
So everything is a balance with a relationship. I mean, there's nothing that doesn't take work.
Been there and lost two marriages due to exactly that kind of stuff. So
exactly. You know, and I know the type of person that you are. So I know that it wasn't you as a partner.
Yeah.
Because you are understanding, you are open to a lot of different things and you listen to people's opinions and you don't shut them down right away. And, you know, there are a lot of relationships out there too that are like that, where you're involved with a narcissist and they don't want to hear anything about A, themselves, and then B, if it's not something that's particularly in their strict column of likes and dislikes, they don't want to know about it. They don't care yeah. about it. Your needs and wants aren't important. So there again, bells and whistles should be going off that this isn't the right person for me. So for the scripture I chose, it's out of the NIV version, and it's Corinthians 13:4-8. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrongs. There's a powerful one right there. Because a lot of people score keep, and that's never a good way to
lots of grudges.
And it ruins a lot of relationships. It truly does. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away.
I love that one.
I do. I really like that one. You want to go into Comedy Corner?
We sure can. We've got two for the people out there, and hopefully you guys will laugh along with us. I love these guys.
Did you get to listen? Oh, cool. Okay.
So here you guys go. Enjoy.
I need to upgrade my circle of friends. Like, you ever be going out and you decide whose car to drive based on whose car is the least messed up? My boy called me up and was like, Rich, man, I want to check out that new spot you was talking about. I was like, all right, bet, let's meet up there at 10:30. He's like, ooh, no, that's not good. You got to come pick me up. I was like, pick you up? Why I got to come get you? He was like, dude, my check engine light's been on for 2 days. I'm scared. I was like, 2 days? I was like, bruh. My check engine light's been on for 3 years, man. Terrified. I get scared when it goes off. Hey, my car's like, you know what, Rich, forget this. I know my car's like really messed up because when people borrow it from me, I got to give them instructions that aren't even in the manual. Like, first of all, you can't even start my car in park. You got to put it in neutral. I don't know why. That's just how my truck is. The passenger side door, yeah, that's not opening. So you got to walk around to the driver's side, get in, climb over the console, and get in your seat. And then the driver's side window, yeah, that's not coming down. Which is hilarious when I go to the drive-thru, y'all. This is how I order at the drive-thru. I pull up, I be like, oh yeah, let me get a number 3 with pickles.
I say die big. Give it a shot, man. Go out big. It's your chance. Die big. Work in a few posthumous reflexes for your friends. Give them a show before you go. Entertain and uplift and instruct those you are leaving behind. When you die, give them a few posthumous reflexes. You know, the body does store electricity up. There's a certain storage of electricity, and even a dead body, a corpse, will occasionally go... And I say, if you have that potential after you're dead, use it properly. Pre-program. before you die, pre-program some posthumous reflexes that will be entertaining to those you've left behind. Do something to capture their imagination. Roll over on the autopsy table.
That's nice.
Cross your legs, scratch your balls, do something. Now, the only reason that I even suggest that you have a choice about what you can do at the moment of death is a very little known and very little understood part of the death process called the 2-minute warning. Many people are not aware of it at all. The 2-minute warning. Just as in football, 2 minutes before you die, you receive an audible warning.
2 minutes, get your shit together.
The reason we don't know about it is because the only people who hear it die. And I don't think we'd believe someone anyway if he told us he received his 2-minute warning, would you? Some asshole on the bus?
Hey, I just got my 2-minute warning.
You'd think it was a coach out on the town. But no, the 2-minute warning does arrive. And I say use that time to entertain, to leave something behind. Do something with the 2 minutes. Hey, if nothing else, give a speech. Little 2-minute speech. We can all give a little 2-minute speech. Just pick some subject you're very fond of and talk about it for 2 minutes. I mean, tell them. It's your last chance to tell them anything. So tell them. Got 2 minutes. And I mean, wax eloquent. Rise. Bring it to the rafters. And then at the moment at the end, you say, if this is not the truth, may God strike me dead.
George Carlin.
Ira didn't bleep it.
George Carlin, one of my favorite people, to say the least, man. I love that man.
I know you love him. That was the cleanest. I've been searching. That was the cleanest one I could find and the shortest. So
yeah, you're not going to find much clean from George Carlin.
Absolutely not. Trust me, I've been searching to make you happy.
We've got about,
I love him as well.
We've got about 3 minutes left for you here tonight. So what you got on? We got about 3 minutes left here tonight.
Okay. Well, we'll go into things my dad says. Very simple. Keep it simple. My dad's just his whole life, everything is like, you know, let's get ready to go. When he wants to leave, he wants to leave, go to the store, get what we have to get and come home. And so he's trained his wife, you know, he's trained his wife. She makes the list. And, you know, he's actually a genius because especially today with people having tough financial problems, you know, so many people, we don't go to the store. We don't make a list. We're hungry. We go to the store. We buy that bag of Doritos or that box of Eclairs or, you know, that package of baklava, you know, that we really can't afford or maybe aren't good for us or take us off of our diet. Whereas if we had made a list before we go to the store, we stick to the list, get what's within the budget, get what we need to get, and then, you know, leave the store so that we're not buying all these unnecessary last minute items, these impulse items that we need to, or that we don't need rather. And so I've kind of been a philosopher of that. I've taken his words to heart and I do try and follow that. And I think it's made, first of all, it saved my pocketbook a lot of money. And second of all, it's made my trips to the store much less lengthy because I'm not wandering around the stores, you know, throwing stuff randomly in the cart. Then I'm $30 over budget and I'm, you know, dilly-dallying in the store because I can't remember what it was that I wanted. So keep it simple, make a list, and overall just keep it simple. Simplify your life whenever and wherever you can. It will give you much less stress and hardship in the long run.
I would agree with that 100%.
So that's my things my dad says for the week. You want to give your contact info?
Yes, feedback at openeyesnetwork.com is my email address. Our website is openeyesnetwork.com. Our YouTube channel is openeyesnetwork.com. Oh, no, I'm sorry. YouTube channel is youtube.com/C/openeyesnetwork. On social media, we're everywhere. Open Eyes Network on Facebook, Twitter, Google Plus, you name it. It's there. So, yeah, there you go.
Okay. MaggieHart.com. Wonderful website Ira and Jolene built for me. Maggie-ViolettNile on Facebook. Email is Maggie, capital M-A-G-G-I-E, underscore capital H-E-A-R-T at outlook.com. Oh, and
sounds
Skype
great.
Is Maggie Hart.
Skype, yes, there you go.
Knew I was missing one.
Yep. Thank you, Maggie, for everything that you do and for doing this show as always. It's always a great show to have me be a part of. I'm glad to be here.
Oh, Ira, thank you so much. And thanks, everybody, for listening. Have a great week, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Indeed, indeed. Keep safe out there, everybody, and have fun. And thanks, as always, for listening.
Bye-bye.